What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Action Movie Anatomy. I'm back. You're back. We're very excited to be here. We got a very, very special guest in studio, and Snickers is here, so we're happy all the way around. Let's talk Birds of Prey and the fantabulous emancipation of one Harley Quinn.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Action Movie Anatomy.
Let me get in on the mat.
Have you heard this version?
No.
Isn't it so
sick?
Yeah,
I want a salsa dance.
We were told we could no longer use the real version, so we found this better one online. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Action Movie Anatomy. We've got Steph Sabra in the house. How you doing?
So good. I'm so excited to be back.
I am very happy we were going to do this, because last week we were supposed to cover this, but I was dying from food poisoning. I was so sick. I had to cancel a Schmodown match. I had to cancel our show. It felt very uncharacteristic of me.
Yeah, but now you're healthy and back.
I'm ready. And I was worried that we don't like to cover new movies weeks after they've come out, because it feels like the hot. It feels like the hot is gone. The heat behind it is gone. But I thought it was really important that we cover this because of, you know, there was the kind of abysmal first weekend at the box office, but not a huge drop off in week two. And I want to support movies that are like this. I think this movie is fantastic. It was a lot of fun. And I think even though we're late, this should still be a lot of fun to cover.
I am so excited to cover it. As soon as we were talking, I'm like, this is the one.
Yep.
Let's do it. And we don't always agree, but I think we agree on this one.
I know. I really think we do. And I was a little worried that I was going to be overhyped on this because, you know, immediately after all of our friends, I don't know if, did you see a screener of it?
No, yeah, okay. I couldn't.
So I know that Ben, you know, Ben, who's usually here, saw a screener and he loved it. I know he saw it with Roxy. She loved it. And I was hyped. I was ready to go, but I still went in with like an even keel, you know, mindset, not too hyped up, not too overexcited. And I loved it. I had a great time.
I loved it so much. I just saw it twice again and I loved it even more. I think it's going to be one of those movies that 10 years from now, people will love this movie even more.
I think so. I think there's a lot of the overhype that happens when any comic book movie comes out initially. And this one did not disappoint. So we'll get into that in just a minute. This is Action Movie Anatomy. You guys know and love the show. Let's talk about you for just 1 second, Steph. Where can the people find you?
At Steph Sabra, S-A-B-R-A-W.
Yeah, and if you follow the Popcorn Talk on Instagram or on Twitter, her and Ryan, who is in the booth, or at least he should still be in the booth.
What up?
What's up, dude? Dude, how you doing?
Doing great. Hyped to hear your thoughts on Birds of Prey.
You guys put some pretty good shit out there. I'm just going to say it right now. You guys kind of do the content that Ben and I think we're trying to do or wish that we could do, but you guys actually execute.
Thank you.
We get a little crazy.
We get a little loco.
So you guys recently did the Alt Oscars, which is a very, very, I love the idea. I love the concept of the show. It's basically, you know, rewarding the movies that weren't recognized by the Academy, and then you guys decide who wins among them. It's a very, like, serious and badass topic. What was the deal with the promo video? Talk to me about why and how the promo video happened the way that it did.
Well, this is the thing. We knew it was really serious. You have to give those awards in a certain way. And it was kind of a little bit different than what Ryan and I are used to. And then he approached me with the idea. I'm like, screw it. Let's do it.
Wait,
like,
so Ryan came up with the concept?
Yeah. No, Ryan usually directs the weirdness. Ugh. I just go along with it.
Man in the chair.
Man in the chair. I love it. Ryan, have you seen Birds of Prey?
Oh, yeah. I actually went to one of those early screenings, and I actually think I came back, and you guys had just finished your AMA with Coy. So I was fresh off of seeing Birds of Prey right then and there.
You didn't like it.
I was one of the few that was a little disappointed. I'm a little bit middle of the road for me. I had some issues with the editing. I thought the action was great, but after a while, I just thought it was a little bit too loose with the story. All the performances, fantastic, but if I'm being completely honest, I was a little underwhelmed.
Okay. All right. That's fair. We'll get into it. It feels good that we're at least on the same page.
I know.
For
yeah.
Once. It's very
I know.
Nice.
It's so weird. Usually I'm on the same page as Ryan.
But not today.
Not today.
At least the guy next to me agrees.
All right. So welcome to Action Movie Anatomy, you guys. We're going to do a couple shout outs here at the top of the show. We got a Patreon, patreon.com/teamaction. Ben and I are doing a brand new series on there. We're going to go back and rewatch all of our Schmodown matches live with the chat and kind of react. It's something that we've been thinking about doing for a while, and it's something that's gotten a lot of people excited. So some shout outs here to some new patrons, Chris Hart and Sally A. Mercedes. Big, big time salute to you both. Thank you so much for your patronage. Thank you for supporting us. It really it makes all the difference in the world. So Action Movie Anatomy, we've got four rules on this show that all the movies must adhere to. It gets a little bit looser, but rule number one, the hero always plays by their own rules. Yeah, right?
Absolutely.
She totally does.
Yeah.
And she is the sole hero of this movie, even though she's got her badass crew, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was her movie.
Yeah.
Completely.
100%. Rule number two, the hero and the villain are always the smartest beings, creatures, dinosaurs, aliens, whatever in the room. So I'm not sure about this one, right?
Yeah.
Because she's not dumb. She's not like a dumb hero, but she doesn't feel like she's the smartest person in the room at all times, but she kind of has to be because she wins.
Yeah, she figures it out, but I feel like both the hero and the villain played by passion.
Mm-hmm.
They played by the same rules, and they ended up being the smartest in the room, but it wasn't by design.
No, that's a very good point. And maybe it's also their support squad around them, because like Victor Zsasz seems like he's a big part of the brains behind, Ewan McGregor's character, which I loved. I thought he was fantastic.
He was so good. I was actually kind of worried about it.
I don't know how I missed it, but I like didn't know it was gonna like he was gonna be in the movie. I guess I didn't watch a lot of the trailers and read too much into the production of this movie. I just missed it. And then when Ben got out of the movie, he said that it was like one of his favorite parts was Ewan. I was so excited because I love Ewan McGregor, and he's so weird.
He's so weird. I've never seen him act like this. I was like, oh my gosh, it's gonna be weird to look at you in different films because you were so weird.
What do you think of his smile? His like,
I loved it. I'm like, you're a psycho. I'd never want to be in a room with you.
No.
Holy yeah.
And I wasn't sure how intense he was gonna be, but starting the movie off with like cutting off people's faces, I didn't know that's what Black Mass was all about.
No.
I was really grossed out.
I will say I closed my eyes.
Did you?
Yeah, I really don't like scalping people.
Or skin peeling. I completely
agree.
It's not
my jam.
There's a... God, what movie is... There's a movie. It's Nurse Betty. Nurse Betty has Renee Zellweger and Morgan Freeman, and they like... There's a scalping at the beginning of the movie, and I saw it in theaters as a kid, and ever since then, I'm petrified of it. I hate it.
It grosses me out.
Yeah.
I really don't like it, but it made sense for his character.
I just want to know who we would talk to this about and be like, I love scalping. I enjoy watching scalping.
I love that scene. It's my actually favorite. Was really deep.
Literally.
Some crazy person that you have to be worried about would say that.
That's true. This is true. So the movie is driven by a police, military, political figure, or a mercenary. She's not really any of those things, right? She's like an anti-hero.
Yeah, she's definitely an anti-hero.
She's not any of those things, right, Ryan? She's not a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's kind of bad.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you for that.
She's pretty evil.
And then rule number four, the movie contains a minimum of one explosion. It does. Most all superhero comic movies will have a minimum of one explosion. So today on the show, we're going to talk about thesis statement, fist pump, you know, our favorite line, things that we always do. My thesis, I think, is going to lead us into another conversation that I'm excited to have. But also our top three favorite breakup movies. I went through a breakup 5 years ago that basically almost ruined my life, and I somehow survived, but I have a couple movies in there that I adore, and I'm pretty sure if you know me, you know what one of them is, but we're going to talk about our favorite breakup movies. They could be sad and depressing, they could be inspiring, they could be anything that
they
you
could
want
be
them.
Triggering.
Yes, they could be triggering, which I've got one of those in there as well, so I'm really excited to talk about those. You have some good ones.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I came with heat today.
Did you?
Yeah, I had to show up for the Action Army. I love you guys. I couldn't come like empty-handed.
No, the Action Army absolutely adores you. When I told them
so mutual
a couple weeks ago that you'd be on the show, they were very, very excited. And then when I told them that I canceled the show, the first thing they asked, it wasn't how are you, it wasn't are you okay, are you gonna be better, it was is Steph gonna be back for the other episode, are you still gonna cover Birds of Prey, we want Steph.
This
so.
Is what I'm talking about. I love you all.
So she's here, don't worry.
Also love Brandon Hanna.
I was just gonna say, do you want to read it out, Ryan?
Yeah, he just donated $5 in the super chat to say watch Star Wars News with Ryan and Steph on Thursdays here on Popcorn Talk. Love that guy.
Love that guy.
I probably should have done that. Guys, make sure to watch Ryan and Steph on Thursdays here on Popcorn Talk, talking all the Star Wars news that you could imagine. I saw your video yesterday. Again, you guys' videos that you do. Ryan murdered Baby Yoda in front of you.
Oh, my.
On camera.
Yeah. Yeah. He was really sadistic.
Yes,
he's one of those friends that's like, if I go through this stuff, you have to go through this. Mm. And I'm coming to respect that because I have to do the same to you now, Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a horrifying video.
Some weird stuff.
See it on her Insta story.
So let's get into thesis statement. This is your biggest, boldest thought about the film. Should usually be kind of hyperbolic. If you were at a party, let's say it was a Birds of Prey party, and you got the microphone for just 10 seconds, what was the one statement you would make? Do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I'll go first because yours is like a mic drop. I already know it.
Okay. All right. Fair. I like it.
Okay. So I think Birds of Prey is like if Kill Bill and Deadpool had a raunchy, explosive, bisexual baby that ended up as being the most rewarding breakup film of all time.
Yes, that's the bra.
Yes, there she is. What is up, J-Lo?
Hey guys,
have you seen Birds of Prey?
I did.
So you know that was the perfect thesis.
That was the perfect thesis.
It really was because it does have. All right, so let's go through it step by step.
Yes.
So Kill Bill meets Deadpool.
Yes.
Because it's raunchy, it's funny, it's
vengeance.
It's also gory as hell.
So gory, explosive cuss words. Best fight scene. One of my favorite fight scenes in any DC movie.
Which one?
The jail scene, breakout scene.
I love the jail break. Are you talking about when she goes in to the jail, like with the gun and the lock? That's me. That's my. Yeah. That was my. We're gonna get there. But yes, it was so awesome.
So good.
And it was like moving art. It was fucking beautiful.
Right.
It was so cool to look at.
Right here.
Yeah, we are. It was like your nails are like the color of all the canisters.
I am the explosion.
So I love that thesis. It's like it's another thing that I love about having guests on the show is Ben and I, our thesis statements sound so it's like mine and his. It's like the way that we speak and the way that we form our thesis statements has been the same for 5 years. So anytime we have a guest on, it's cool to bring in a new one because that's definitely not one that him and I would have ever come up with. Mine is it sounds like what we always say, but by the end of Margot Robbie's career, she will go down as the most successful and famous actress of all time.
All time?
All time. Over Audrey, over Catherine, over anyone. Ever. Julia Roberts had her moment. Sandra Bullock had her moment. Meg Ryan had her moment. Like, there's so many icons that I love, and I love to watch their movies. They've been around for decades and decades, and I think that's one thing you got to think about, like the Meryl Streeps, the Katharine Hepburns, the Julia Roberts, the Sandra Bullocks. At this point, they've all been around for at least 20 years, right? At very minimum. So Margot's got a lot that she needs to do by the end of her career. But the thing is that she is. I mean, Ben and I talk about this because she started her career off in such an interesting way by going full frontal in Wolf of Wall Street, which is interesting because sometimes you'll get painted into a corner when you do something like that as your first movie. But she was like, look, this is a Scorsese movie with Leo. This movie's good. I know exactly what I need to do, and this is a great role for her to pick. But then she went on to do other things, like playing Tonya Harding and giving a performance that honestly should have at least been nominated, probably could have won.
Agreed.
You know, the scene that she gives in the courtroom, the speech that she gives about like not being able to skate anymore.
That's a ball my eyes out scene every time.
Anytime you turn it on, it doesn't matter what you're doing, you watch that scene and you ball your eyes out. She's incredible. She is not only Harley Quinn at the same time that she's getting ready to be Barbie. Like, holy shit, could you be any more iconic? And you're what, like 30? It's insane.
I hear no lies, Andrew.
There's nothing. Yeah. So, I think that's my thesis. I don't know if there's any way to counter that. I mean, J-Lo, how do you feel about that thesis statement? Do you like Margot Robbie? Do you think her career is just like on an upwards trajectory that would never end?
I believe so. I mean, she's kicking ass right now. So I definitely agree with that for sure.
And she's not doing anything wrong.
Like, no.
She's not being a bitch.
She's not problematic. Yeah, because we've heard with some of the greats right now, there's problems on set. I haven't heard one bad thing about Margot Robbie, and I love every movie she's in.
Yeah.
I think that she is so good. Her and Charlize Theron, and I think like Lupita Nyong'o is close up there.
Yes.
Of those three women are just murdering everything they do.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about. That's kind of what the conversation I wanted to lead into was, like, who were the other biggest contenders, you know? Because for a long time, it felt like Natalie Portman might be that. But then she had a baby and kind of just chilled out a little bit. She's only done a few movies in the last few years.
I feel like she's done more in the past 2 years.
Yeah.
She's coming back.
She's coming back, and I'm totally okay with it. I'm a big, big Natalie Portman fan. Ana de Armas is still, like, very, very fresh, very young. Charlize, God, I love Charlize Theron.
She is so good.
She's incredible.
Her in Bombshell, oh my gosh.
I guess maybe Tonya Harding was that role for Margot, but it wasn't even close to, like, Monster. Like, because that was, like, at the time when you saw Charlize being like, oh my god, you're the most beautiful creature on the planet.
Yeah.
And then you saw her come out as Eileen Wuornos, and you're like, what in the actual shit just happened in my life?
Yeah. It's so crazy. Both of those women specifically are the hottest beings. Like, I don't know what person created them, but they did a really fantastic job. But then they do these roles, and you forget about beauty and looks, and they just turn into these either monstrous characters or a Harley Quinn, and you forget.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the other thing, is she's so good. She has such great acting chops. She's not just a pretty face. She doesn't just fill a role. She doesn't just have, like, the ideal, you know, Barbie figure. So, like, okay, she looks like Barbie. We'll cast her as Barbie. But, like, that's also the Barbie's going to be directed by Greta Gerwig and written by Noah Baumbach. So, what kind of crazy Barbie movie are we going to get?
I'm so excited. The kind of Barbie I would buy when I was younger.
Exactly.
That's the only type of Barbie I'd get.
I don't know how you felt, because you were a girl, so, like, you maybe wanted to buy Barbies, whereas, like, as a boy, it's kind of different. It's a little more, at least when I was growing up, but I used to always wonder, like, where my brown Barbie was at.
Oh my gosh.
I was so, yeah.
The closest thing was Teresa. I think my parents convinced me she was a person of color.
Is that one of the Barbies?
She's white with brown hair.
So I was more upset about the... I guess I was more so looking for the Ken. Because I was like, if Ken is only blonde and blue, then, like, what am I supposed to...
You're hideous. No,
I'm hideous. I know. You heard it here first. On air.
No, you're your own Barbie.
Wow, she's 29. She's 29.
29?
I'm so old.
Wait, that makes me...
I'm so old.
She's 29?
She's 29. So you think about, like, what she was doing at her... Yeah, so, okay.
Okay.
Good for her. Good for you, Margot.
Whoa.
Damn.
There you go, J-Lo. That's what's up. All right, so moving on. Let's get into our fist pump moment. This is the moment in the movie where you look around and you're like, holy shit, are you seeing this? I gotta watch the rest of this movie. You want to call your friend they've seen already. Go, do you remember that part? Do you remember when this thing happened? They go, of course I do. That's my fist pump moment. So, why don't you go first? Because I wonder if we have the exact same one.
I think we might.
Yeah.
It's as soon as Harley comes in with that gun that shoots out sparkles and paint and powder and smoke. That's, I think, my favorite weapon ever used in a DC movie. It is so perfect for her character and makes complete sense. But that entire scene, that was like 10 minutes of greatness.
Yeah. So I always have a worry when I see someone like Margot Robbie playing Harley Quinn. And, you know, for some reason, like, you look at Charlize as Furiosa in Mad Max, and there was not a moment for me to be like, yeah, I don't know if she could actually do that. Like, you watch Mad Max, you're like, she could totally kick Max's ass. I am 100% for it and with it, and I'm here for it. But I was worried with Harley Quinn how I was going to feel in, like, the fighting scenes. I saw the hair tie scene. It was released online, and people were giving it a lot of crap. And out of context, I watched it and I was kind of like, all right, I don't know. But this scene set the whole tone of the movie, because she is a total badass and she wrecks everyone, and it's so believable.
I was looking to see where it wasn't her.
Okay, so it wasn't just me.
I was looking for the stunt double
or anything.
I could not find it, and I thought that was for all the women. They looked so badass. It was believable. I thought the sequences were amazing. I just love this entire scene.
Yeah, I mean, they all three of them feel so freaking badass. And Rosie Perez. I mean, let's not take too much away from her. I know that we were both a little... She's that character in every movie.
Yeah.
Pineapple Express, exact same character.
Yeah. Yeah, I would hope from a Rosie Perez that she would be useful with knowledge, like what the cops are gonna do,
right?
You know what I mean? But in terms of that whole scene, that was just I would watch out and replay. And just as a woman, that ponytail scene was so relatable.
Oh my, okay,
so relatable.
So I was watching it and I remembered that was the moment where people were like, this is stupid, but like,
it's
I
not
thought about it. I know it's not at all. So, like, being someone that grew up with sisters and having a girlfriend, I understand. They're everywhere. Hair ties are everywhere. That's a thing. You've got three on or two. Yeah. I was like, what do you want as the audience, right? Because if you're sitting there watching the movie, you're going to be one of those people that's like, this isn't real. You'd be like, they wouldn't fight with their hair down. That doesn't make any sense. They couldn't see anything. So what are they supposed to do?
Exactly. She didn't know she was getting into a fight.
Right.
Her hair wouldn't have been upped and prepped. It made complete sense because I've been in these moments before.
I've fought people and had to put my hair up.
I'm always in a jail cell trying to fight my way out, and I always need a hair tie. This is relatable.
Yeah, and when I watched it, I was like, you know what? No, it's genius. It's actually genius. Just executed perfectly because if you want to be the real person picking apart, you would be like, why is their hair down? This would be so in the way. It would be so annoying.
I would hate that if their hair was down. Especially her hair, because it was similar to mine. I couldn't fight. I need my hair up if I'm going to do anything action-packed like that.
That was almost my fist pump because I'd heard it getting so much crap online. And then when I watched it in the movie, I was like, that's just good writing.
Yeah.
And they executed it really well.
Yeah. That was one of those scenes where you're like, this women were behind the scenes writing and directing this because they would think of those things, whereas just a man can't because you don't understand what it's like to have a mane on your head.
Yeah, and then also like if it was a man making the decisions and your actress was, or even costume designer was like, well, maybe they should do this thing. They'd be like, I don't know. It doesn't seem necessary.
Yeah.
When it is very necessary.
It is. It is.
So it does sound like we have the same fist pump. I'm trying to think if I had any other moments. The other one I do is it's like my favorite line, so I don't think I want to get into that. But yeah, I think that's just it. That moment is so good. And the music in this movie is goes perfectly.
I listened to the soundtrack on the way here.
Yeah.
I love it. Meg Thee Stallion is my girl.
It's badass. Yeah. It like gets you hyped up. You're ready to go.
Such good artists. Doja Cat, Saweetie, a few others. They picked the best artists for this album. And much like Queen and Slim, I love that soundtrack too. And I think it enhances the movie. Like Black Panther's the same way. It enhances the movie. This was the whole thing was perfect.
I mean, you talk about like some of the most classic films of all time and like what scores do for those films. It does the same things for movies like this, for superhero movies.
Yeah.
You need good music. Black Panther's a great example.
Oh, another scene I loved.
Okay.
The whole egg sandwich buildup.
Oh my God.
So good.
I have never, when movies make you, there's certain movies that make you want something. Like certain movies make me want to have a drink or they make me, but this movie, I've never wanted an egg sandwich so bad.
Same.
In my whole life.
Same. We should have had some in studio. Oh,
that's genius. We're just eating it, just dripping all over.
No. ASMR episode.
What's that?
We should have done an ASMR.
Do you know that I'm obsessed with mukbang and ASMR? I love it. I love it.
Not mukbang.
Yeah. It's mukbang plus ASMR, so you get the best of both worlds. I could watch. Should we turn it on? We can take a break.
Listen, we don't need to do the rest of this show. Wow.
It's a thing. And it gets me real hungry. And then I think about all the stuff I want to eat for the week.
It makes me nauseous.
Exact opposite.
You're disgusting.
So let's get into these. I guess we'll do Margot Robbie and Ewan McGregor because we got the hero and the villain in their star profile. So Margot Robbie recently has done Bombshell, which I heard is great. I didn't get a chance to see Bombshell. Did you love it?
So it was one of top five movies of 2019 for me.
And I heard the performances all the way across the board were out of this world.
So good.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, also in 2019, which I, upon rewatching, I enjoy much more, and I think she is so good in it.
She's so good. It wasn't her story. I wanted more of her, though. Same. Just selfishly, but I understand why she didn't have more.
She's so good at portraying like the innocence of young Hollywood and like the excitement of that up-and-comer and just like purity and honesty. She's so great in it, and she says so little.
Yeah, I know.
Again,
also, just have to shout out the costume design because I want her entire closet for that
movie. Whole wardrobe
her whole wardrobe.
Banging, as they say. and then Dreamland in 2019. I know that I should know more about Dreamland. I'm not sure why I can't think of what it is right now, but three big movies in 2019. Again, this is exactly why my thesis was what it was. And then Ewan McGregor on the other side of it did Doctor Sleep in 2019, which I did not see, but I heard people liked a lot. They actually ended up coming around on it. I heard mixed reviews in the beginning. And then Christopher Robin in 2018 and Zoe in 2018. And I know that he is rumored. I mean, not rumored, but the whole Obi-Wan. Tell me, do you know anything?
I was like,
you want to fill us in on that?
The Obi-Wan series, they had a little slowdown in production, but they are set to start, I believe, early 2021, if Ryan's in the booth. But yeah, they are still set to go. They haven't started production at all, though.
And he's still locked in.
Yes.
Right? Okay. God,
yeah.
I love some Ewan
Obi-Wan. Yeah, we were going to riot, but we're going to get that.
So production development, you know, this movie was announced in May of 2016, you know, ahead of the release of Suicide Squad. They immediately were like, we want a movie about Harley Quinn. We need to have a movie about Harley Quinn, especially when they realized that it was going to be Margot Robbie in there. So they wanted to bring in other heroes and villains like Batgirl and the entire Birds of Prey. Production started in late 2018. They brought on Kathy Yan, which I hope I'm saying that correctly, which was a big part of the producers behind it. They really wanted to make sure that they had a female director for the exact reasons that we were talking about, even with something like, you know, the hair tie all the way across, yeah, like being able to tell the stories of these women. They wanted an R-rated girl gang film, including Harley, because I was like, look, Harley needs friends. Harley loves interacting with people, so don't make her do a standalone film, which I think is perfect because I wasn't like tired of her story or bored of her like on her own, but I did like that they gave us the consolidated version of like her history with the Joker
and, yeah,
like, you know, falling in love.
Me
and,
too.
And they did it like twice. They did it once like as an, yeah, animation, and then they did it once again with Cindy, which I think is really all that you need.
Yeah, you know? I agree. I think that they should have kept the name. They should have made the name Harley Quinn just for people who don't understand and who would have bought into Margot Robbie regardless. Because I think that they did lose some viewership because of that.
You're talking about the title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the basis of it, I'm totally with. I actually think that in terms of introducing a bunch of new characters in such a short time, they did a phenomenal job. I was sold, yeah, on all of them.
The crossbow killer.
Oh my gosh. She was so funny.
She was so good. She was so good. I'm Huntress.
You don't know who I am. Yeah. Oh, do you know who I am?
Do you know who I am?
Oh my god.
Crossbow killer.
Like, we all practice in the mirror with some
lines. Oh, I've definitely practiced lines in the mirror. And then Journey is just a badass. Like, she is a sexy badass. Her voice is incredible.
Oh my gosh,
like,
queen.
Everything about her, I was in love with her.
Oh
in this
my
movie.
God, yes. She gave body, she gave face,
there
action.
It is. There it is.
So here for it, queen.
Her fight scene was so awesome, yes, out in the alley between those two dudes. Again, it was like, you look at this and I'm like, I believe it. I believe that that girl could kick their ass and my ass, no problem. Like, without even breaking a sweat. And I also love how that was like her introduction to Black Mask. And
being, yeah,
like, oh, wow, she can. Let's actually make her do something else.
I love that scene. That was one of those deeper scenes where you could tell a woman wrote it, because we've all been faced with that problem where we might not know a woman, but we see her getting taken advantage of, and you like have to step in. It's our role as queens together.
She almost walked away. She,
yeah,
almost drove away. She was just about to let it go, and then she's like, I just can't.
Yeah.
And I was so happy. Yeah. I didn't know if she was going to be good or bad.
Same. You know? I didn't know if she would care, but I thought that was a really powerful moment because we're all faced with that issue. We're like, we don't know them, but I think 2020, I know it's our responsibility to watch out for each other.
How did you feel about the relationship between her character, Black Canary, and Black Mask?
That wasn't explored as much as I would have liked,
because, yeah,
at first it just looked like she was a side singer. Then I guess that was his little bird that he was obsessed with, but I wasn't attached to the obsession because it wasn't shown that much.
I wanted like a little nugget of like messed up like mental trauma or like some weird fucked up relationship,
yeah, like
between
Joker
them
and Harley.
Exactly. Like, yeah, I wanted just like one little extra thing to add to it, other than just like, I mean, I get it. She gave him a job, took her off the streets, is what she says, and then that was her justification for being a driver. But I just felt like there was a little bit more to go deeper,
yeah,
like psychologically.
Yeah, 100%, because that's a quintessential abusive relationship where a woman stays in regardless of love, just because they think that they owe someone something.
Exactly, and that's and like, I guess we could get there. We did the work on our own, but I think it would have been nice to get spoon fed just,
yeah,
a little bit more, just a little bit.
I agree.
So before we get into critical and box office, let's talk about some of our favorite breakup films.
Yes!
Yes! Everyone loves a good breakup.
We love breakups.
Oh, man.
Yikes.
Oh, yikes. They're the worst.
They're the worst.
They're the absolute worst. I don't know how, if you've gone through one recently, but like I said, I went through one 5 years ago and that about killed me.
Yeah, I went through one recently and it's the worst.
It's the worst.
The worst, like, you just, it makes you look at life differently.
It does. And usually for me, I like to self-medicate with alcohol and movies. That's what I do, is I just sit and then pizza.
And
usually
then you
pizza.
Watch depressing
and
movies.
I just watch depressing
movies. I can't.
See,
I haven't been able to watch movies like Marriage Story because I'm afraid that it's going to send me further into
trigger.
Lifetime of singlehood.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like Marriage Story specifically, you look at if you watch it, you're like, even if you're not in a relationship, like, I could get a divorce. And you're like, why do I want to get married?
No, yeah.
You know? Like, yeah. If I run into Laura Dern, I'll divorce anybody. Because that woman could convince me of anything in that movie. And, yeah, so that
part.
That movie's really interesting. That's not going to be on my list. We'll go back and forth.
Okay.
3-1. Number three. What is your number three breakup film?
Girls Trip. I thought...
What? Yeah. So I actually haven't seen Girls Trip.
You have to see it.
No, I love it.
It's so funny. It's my funny breakup movie because we don't always get a funny one. But this one was my funny one. And I just love this movie. The entire cast is amazing.
Yeah.
You would love it.
Okay.
It's actually really, really funny.
It's got a 91% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Because it's hilarious.
People enjoy this. Okay. All right. I'll check that out. So my first one is She's Out of My League. I don't know why I love this movie. I know I said before the movie she's just not that into you, or he's just not that into you, but She's Out of My League. I don't know why I love this movie, but I think it's just because of how annoying and like awkward Jay Baruchel is, but he's also so endearing and lovable. I don't know what he's doing. But then Alice Eve, like them together, TJ Miller, like in his prime, something about Kristen Ritter being a bitch in this movie. Everything about this movie, whenever I watch it, I'm just like sitting there smiling and having a good time. And it's like, if you're going through a breakup, you're like, I could get anybody. I really could. I should never settle. I could be with Alice Eve.
That's true though. Never settle.
Never settle.
Never settle.
So She's Out of My League is my number three.
Good choice. Okay. This one's hard. I don't know how to number these, but I'll just go number two with Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Whew. That is heavy.
Heavy. That one I watch every probably 7 years. So can't do more than that.
Okay, it's one of those for you. That's like my Requiem for a Dream. Like, I love that movie, but I need time.
I need time. But that movie really shook me to my core when it first came out. Obviously, I'm a huge Jim Carrey fan, so... Yeah. Love that movie.
It's like the fighting in that movie is so heartbreakingly real.
Yeah. I feel like that was the prerequisite for Marriage Story.
Honestly, yes, because the fighting in Marriage Story is just as real and just as horrible to watch, but in a weirdly enjoyable way. All right, so number two for me is just straight up classic, like bawl my eyes out while watching. Snickers, what are you doing? Come on.
I love you. Snickers. I said I would bring a hyena, but Snickers will have to do.
I love the hyena.
I know. I love the hyena. Bruce. I wanted to bring Bruce in, but he's at home.
I thought they just killed him, and I was devastated. I was like, how did
her props were so good.
Everything. Yeah. Her costume design, her props, and then the idea of Bruce was... I had a mini fist pump when it showed the guy that said the thing in the animal store, and then the next scene was just Bruce chewing on his leg. I was like, this is amazing.
Amazing.
I was like, all right, this is good. I'm into this movie. So number two for me is Blue Valentine. I've told you about this movie.
Yeah, you
I
have.
Love it.
You have.
You've seen it or no?
Yes, it is only once because it is that scarring, Andrew.
Oh,
and you
my
put
God.
Yourself through this yearly, I think.
I love it. I do. I watch it once a year at least, and I... If Michelle Williams and Ryan Gosling can't make it work, then we're all just screwed, right? Like, come on.
Yeah. I just can't go to that movie. I think that came out right after one of my first horrible breakup.
It's just so... The movie is scarring as well. Like, there's... Okay, all right. Come here. It's just like, it's heartbreaking. You see, like, Gosling get kind of chubby and balding, and then you realize you're like, oh my God, it happens to everyone, even Ryan Gosling. And yeah, so that's my number
it's
two.
It's the inevitable.
I think Snickers made it on camera.
I hope he did.
But yeah, that's my number two.
Okay, number one, 500 Days of Summer. I remember when this came out, it was like the first time indie films were really, really talked about in a positive way, at least from my perspective. I hadn't had that much hype around indie films before, and I love this movie.
God damn it, this movie. Right?
Yes.
Like, the whole time, you're just like, I can't wait until they finally get together. It's going to be so great.
Married,
it's
going to
be this beautiful crescendo. There's going to be birds. And then they just don't.
But that's life.
That's life. I know.
That's life. And it was a good lesson for a young Steph.
Well, yeah, that's fair. Yeah, this movie came out when I was in college. I was working at Blockbuster at the time. And I actually didn't watch it. I didn't watch it until like a few years ago. And it is, yeah, it's a rough one. It's heartbreaking.
Well, I'm curious what your number one is.
So my number one, it's funny. You'll like the people in the chat that will laugh because it's Warrior. It's like my favorite movie of all time. It's the same one. It's like, what's your favorite movie? What's your best action movie? What's your favorite breakup movie? It's Warrior because... So Warrior, I would every single night... when I first went through my breakup, I stayed on Ben's couch for like 2 months. Because we had like a house, the whole thing. House and dog and yard. The whole nine. So I went from that to like staying on Ben's couch. And I would drink at least a half a bottle of whiskey every day. Usually probably the whole one. And I would watch every night. I would pass out on the couch crying watching Warrior. That was my life.
Andrew. Oh my God. Thank you for your vulnerability. This is,
yeah.
It's so funny because I slept on Roxy's couch for a month after one of my breakups.
Wow. Of course. And like everything from like how inspiring this movie is to the music, the soundtrack, like the National. I love the National so much, but they make such beautiful, sad music that I would listen to their soundtrack when I wasn't watching the movie. And then Jennifer Morrison is like the greatest wife of all time in that movie. So much about it.
Can I confess something?
You've never seen it. Yeah. I can already tell. I can already tell by the look on your face that you haven't seen it.
Should I leave?
You're like, yes.
Mm-hmm. Great points.
That sounds like a fun film.
Love
no,
it.
My God, you have to watch it. You have to watch it.
Okay.
You do. People are like,
okay.
Yeah. It's people are like, that's so cool. / sad. Yeah. So sad. / cool. Yeah. This story is. Yeah. That was a good time. I also love Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Someone else put that in there. That's like
such
one of my
good,
favorites of all time.
That is a great one.
I feel like that should be on my list.
Yeah, I feel like that one has to be.
All right, that's unanimous on our list that we didn't say. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, honorable mention.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen Warrior, which it sounds like a couple of you haven't in the chat, you guys could watch it with Steph because all of you need to watch Warrior now.
Let's do a watch along.
We've done two with that
to
movie.
Warrior
we did one, I think, here, and we did one at home. Yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem. All right. Moving on.
Andrew.
I know. Well, what?
Do you watch movies a lot repeatedly, like the same one?
So I used to do it a lot more, but now because of the Schmodown, I don't do it as much.
Yeah.
I feel like if I'm going to sit down and watch a movie, I should watch something
watch
I haven't seen. But I do love to rewatch movies.
I don't.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guarantee I've seen Gladiator probably 100 times. Like legitimately 100 times.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah.
How could you? I can't put myself through that 100 times.
Sensing some judgment.
I'm trying not to judge. You're right.
Well, it's the greatest story and movie of all time. So that and Warrior, it makes sense that I'd seen both of them about 100 times. So moving on to critical and box office. This movie was actually pretty cheap to make. It only cost $84 million, which I know is still a lot of money, but respectively to all the other movies and superhero movies that come out, this is a very small budget, being under $100 million. And it did pretty well for itself, you know, in terms of making its money back. It grossed a total of $173 million worldwide, with 72 of that being domestic. And that was as of, I think, 2 days ago. So.
Wait, what? How much did it gross, you said?
So 72 million domestic, 101 foreign, and then a grand total of 173.
Okay.
Yeah, you okay with that?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I think we could have done better, but I'm okay with that.
We should have done better.
Yeah.
Like, just as human beings, we should have done better because there was no reason to not want to see this movie if you're a DC fan or a comic book movie fan or, like, a superhero fan. I think a lot of people were, I mean, I hate to say this every single time because I'm not saying strictly this is not why, like, that's not why this movie didn't do great, but... Toxic masculinity is a real thing on the internet, and it definitely was. This movie already had an uphill battle. The fact that they clipped out one of the biggest fight scenes in the movie to put online to make fun of a hair tie scene, that doesn't happen in Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
Nothing gets released in Avengers Endgame other than exactly what the studio wants you to see. And then people are, oh my God, like it's like God sent a gift from the heavens above. So
I completely agree. I think that I have no problem with if you see Captain Marvel or Wonder Woman and you don't like the movie after you've seen it. I just don't understand how you don't see it if you are a comic book fan, if you're an action fan, or if you're a Margot Robbie, Ewan McGregor fan. I just don't understand.
It doesn't make any sense. And, you know, this movie was written really well. It, you know, it... every movie has its plot holes, and you know, this is not like a hardcore drama. This is a superhero movie about an anti-hero. So there's
It's not like Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, you're not gonna get Shawshank here. You're gonna get exactly what you signed up for, and I think it gave you more than that. I think it delivered even better than that. I think the chemistry among the cast was out of this world good, and again, all the women were so freaking badass.
Yeah.
Critically, it got a 6.6 on IMDb, which feels a little low. I think it should probably be in the sevens at least. And then Rotten Tomatoes has a 78% from both the tomato meter and the audience, which I think is more fair because Rotten Tomatoes is it's just an aggregate of whether you did like it or didn't like it. So this means that about 80% of people liked it.
Yeah.
Which I'm okay with.
Yeah, me too. When but a lot of people don't know that, which
they don't.
Bugs me because they see movies like that when in actuality, I feel like it was a solid 85%.
You mean like if you were rating
it
out of 10?
If I was rating it out of, 100%, 85%. But, and that's how most people view Rotten Tomato scores.
Yeah, and they're just wrong.
They're like,
just straight up wrong.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, well, it's not actually a score. So, yeah, I'm trying to think of where I would put it. I'd probably put it at like a 7.6, I think. 7.7.
Really?
Yeah. That's a strong...
Yeah,
that's,
it is.
That's pretty
it
good,
is.
You
it
know?
Is. Especially for Andrew Guy.
Especially for Andrew Guy. Steph Sobrati, you have a favorite line?
Oh, yes, I do, Andrew. Thanks for asking. it's a classic one that we saw in the trailer, but then it even hit harder in the movie when she goes, "I'm the one they should be scared of. Not you, not Mr. J, because I'm Harley freaking Quinn."
Yes, it was so awesome. And I think that her like portrayal of Harley Quinn was perfect.
Yes.
You know, the voice was good. It didn't get... I heard some people say it was like a little annoying in the beginning, mm-mm. but then you were just on board.
Yeah.
Like, that's what she sounds like.
Yeah. Like, she's a cartoon human.
Yeah. And I think that if you had the original Harley Quinn from the comic books for an hour and 45 minutes, that could have been a little
tough. I think she would have been roasted.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would have been like Doolittle, Robert Downey Jr. and Doolittle.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Oh, it's that bad.
It's awful, Andrew.
Did you know that it was a passion project of his?
No.
I thought he owed the studio like a favor because of Iron Man, but apparently this is something that he's been wanting to do for a very long time.
No.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm talking shit about my dad when I talk shit about him.
I know.
But I thought his voice was dubbed the entire time.
Really?
Yeah.
I have to check it out. I've heard it's pretty bad.
You're going to have to watch it belligerent because...
No problem. okay, so there's a... I saw someone in the chat here. It looks like Big J, 21. What's up, Big J? He says it could have been PG-13. Now, obviously, I wish he would have elaborated a little bit more, but that does open up the conversation of PG-13 movies being more accessible to the general audience, usually making more money.
Oh.
Because this is, like... Do you think this movie should have been PG-13 in the sense of being able to like have a larger audience of young women being able to watch this, like 13, 14, 15-year-olds, or do you think it doesn't matter?
No, I don't think it matters. I don't like the rate. I feel like when we try to shield our kids from what is in the real world, it doesn't make sense to me. So I think it would have... I think we would have gone cotton candy bullshit if it was a PG-13. It would have been like, women, you know, roar, fight.
Yeah. That would have sounded like. Yeah, and I think the R rating brings stakes to it. Even just, I mean, you even said that you looked away for a part of this movie.
A lot, I'm not going to lie.
You know, so if this was a PG-13 movie, I think it would have been exactly what you're talking, cotton candy bullshit. It wouldn't have felt as real as it did.
Yeah.
And I think that is really important for it to feel grounded in... No, at least this world.
Yeah, and I think how much did Deadpool, do you know, made?
Like, a lot.
There's no excuse.
Yeah. No, there's not. It's not because this movie was rated R that it didn't get people to watch it. Because you know 13-year-olds were watching Deadpool with their parents.
Yeah.
It was a thing.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I would have hated if I had that experience.
Oh, to watch it with your parents?
Oh my god. Still awkward. Like, I'm like, still like, no, I've never had sex.
Never. Why would I?
Why would I?
I'm not married. So then when that happens, then I will.
Then you'll know because I'll have a ring on my finger. Come on.
Okay. So yeah, we didn't have an AMA question, but I thought that was a good thing to at least cover. I'm happy it's R. I think it should have stayed R. So Steph, there are three action movie categories, totally legitimate, totally ridiculous, and ridiculously legitimate. They kind of explain themselves. What do you think this movie is?
I forget how you guys explain it, but...
So totally legitimate are movies like Shawshank, like The Godfather, okay. Deepwater Horizon, just completely grounded in reality. You don't ever have to stretch your imagination for anything. Totally ridiculous are movies that kind of fall off a cliff of absurdity like Demolition Man,
uh-huh.
or I don't know if Deadpool was in there or not, but you know, Deadpool's totally ridiculous, but in a great way.
Yeah.
And then there's movies that are ridiculously legitimate where they hold together pretty strongly. There's usually like a great performance in it, or maybe the script or something about it that makes you feel like, I know this isn't real, but it feels like it could be.
Got it. Ridiculously legitimate.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's the only way this movie could have been. Because if it was totally legitimate, it would have felt like it took itself way too seriously and would have not been enjoyable.
No.
And then totally ridiculous is what we would have gotten in the PG-13
yeah, version. Especially, yeah, you have bats and like all these cool weapons. It's a little bit different, but I think the characters and their character arches make sense to me completely.
Did you have a favorite weapon? It was the launcher.
Yeah, it was the launcher.
I actually did like the crossbow killer. I don't know why
she
I liked it so much.
Yeah.
But I loved Huntress.
Yeah. I would love to see more of her.
So I didn't even say my favorite line because we did yours.
Yeah.
And so my favorite line, and I don't have it all, but it was when Black Canary says something, and she's like, it's not a fucking bow and arrow, it's a crossbow. And then she's like, you got anger issues. She's like, I don't have anger issues. And then Harley Quinn comes up and she drops like this beautiful little nugget of straight up being a therapist, like being a psychologist.
I have it,
do you
right?
have it?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay.
Psychologically speaking, vengeance rarely brings the catharsis we hope for.
Yes.
I love
yes!
that line.
And it also, it was like the three of them together as a squad for the first time, and like already the way that they worked together, the chemistry on screen was excellent. Like you've got Harley Quinn, who's just off the cliff of absurdity. You've got Huntress, who takes herself way too seriously. And then Black Canary, who's just like us.
Yeah.
Like she is us.
She's like, this just happened.
Yeah. So I love that. I'm so glad you had it written down.
That was one of my favorite parts about her character, is that you forget she has a PhD. She's a smart, smart girl. She's just crazy.
Yeah, I know. I know. I loved in the beginning. Oh, also like Bones going the wrong way when she jumped on the driver's legs in the beginning because he called her dumb. In the club, and she like just jumps from the stage onto his legs. They go the wrong way. Also, didn't she do that again later on, like with another guy's legs that she broke like in three different ways? And then,
she did.
I got hot just thinking about it. I don't like when Bones go the wrong way.
Yeah, no, no.
So yes, I will have to agree with you. Ridiculously legitimate. That seems completely appropriate. So we only got one more thing to do on the show, Steph, and that's called the pitch.
Wow,
there it is. We don't have a movie for next week. Ben and I are slacking. He's been out of town. I've been dying, but I'm better now, and he's coming back. So just follow. Make sure you're following us on Twitter, at Team Action Show, at Andrew Guy, at Ben Bateman Media, at Steph Sabra. You know, check all of us out. Steph, what else? Let's talk about you for just one more second.
Okay.
What other stuff are you doing right now that we can watch you do on the internet?
Okay, well, Star Wars news, Thursdays, 4 p.m. PST at the Popcorn Talk. Also doing a few different after shows at AfterBuzz. If you're into health and wellness, I do a show with Maria Menounos, the CEO, the big boss of this place, and it's called Better Together with Maria.
Hey,
that drops on Mondays.
Kathy on there, right?
Yeah, Kathy Kelly was on it. It was a really good episode. We played Never Have I Ever, so you find out some some things. Yeah. And then we have some secret stuff in the works with me and Roxy and Darina.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
Teases to come. Yeah.
Oh, I love that lineup. That's going to be good. All right, I want to know all about this, and then you need to come on The Action Guys sometimes.
Yes.
We would love to have it. It's a show that we do every Sunday from usually 6 to 8 p.m. Talk entertainment news. We talk Showdown a little bit, but then we usually talk to the chat a lot. So it's just kind of like a two-hour, not daily show, but weekly show that Ben and I do.
I'd love to. I love you guys, and I love – you guys have such a good show.
It's because of the – I mean, like you said it before, the Action Army. They literally are our lifeblood.
Love
Thank
them.
You guys so much. So a few shout-outs that we got to do here. We got Commanders-in-Chief Alex and Lucas Shashek. Big time salute to you guys. They donate at the highest level on our Patreon, a level that we didn't think anyone would ever donate at because it was a joke level, and they did it. So big ups to them.
You rock.
They really do. Five-star generals, Paul DeNuzio, John Getz, Jake Iacovetta, Mac Ryan. Big time salute to you guys. Thank you so much for your support.
And of course, salute.
Yeah, oh, please do. Okay. Yeah. And then we got a bunch of generals here and a few new generals. We got Glenn Caesar, Mike Deacon, Liam Gilpin, Luke Marshall, Haynes, Wow, there we go. Danny Joyce, Andrew Hayes, Kelsey Kirkland, Sadi Lamanmaki, AJ Lancaster, Jeremiah Morris, Ferris Muthana, Carl Newell, Anthony Nugent, John Patterson, Eric Ritz, Oscar Romo, and Cody Seal. Big, big time salute to you guys. Thank you so much. We will see you same place, same time next week. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.